There's a quirky place I love to stay at in Taos, New Mexico. We've been going there for years. It's a compound near downtown that consists of five adobe casitas. They're clustered around a central garden. The air is fragrant with sage. Sometimes you hear the clucking of the roaming hens. Richard, the property's owner, refers to them as the girls. Richard has tan skin and white teeth and a deep laugh. Running this place is his joy. Often when I sit in a hammock here reading a book, I'll look up to see Richard tending the garden and doing chores in his broad-brimmed hat. He teaches tango lessons on the side. Richard is the one who told me about a hiking trail in Taos, the Italianos. It feels like my spiritual place. The trail climbs to more than 11,000 feet in elevation and crisscrosses a rushing stream that acts like a sort of white noise. In several places, you have to cross over a fallen log or step across boulders to keep moving up. And near the top is an aspen forest. Here, I love to rest and stare up at the sky with the thin white bark trunks swaying back and forth with the sunlight dappling through. Taos is a beautiful and a peaceful place during the day. But when dusk approaches and the temperature drops, that feeling of isolation starts to seem more sinister. It gets dark here, very dark. And by the time the sun goes down, you'd better be ready for it. I'm Christopher Wynn, and this is Strange. Ariel Saldivar is a creative spirit. She's a musician and artist who divides her time between Los Angeles and Santa Fe. And it was in New Mexico where a series of odd coincidences would lead her to one of the strangest, most frightening nights of her life. Here's Ariel.
For my birthday every year, I like to go to a dinner out near Taos. My friend Johnny Ortiz, he's a chef. I used to cook at Eleni in Chicago, and he's from Taos Pueblo, and he has started this beautiful dinner project where he makes all the dishes from clay from the land and cooks this 12-course meal in a barn. It's called the Shed Project. It's this just really special, intimate dinner that you buy a ticket to, but you don't know who you're going to be dining with. You just know it's 10 other people. And so my friend Tracy and I, who I've known since second grade, we've grown up together, went and celebrated my birthday there at this dinner. And we're having this wonderful experience, and you never know who you're going to meet. So when we sat down to eat dinner, we sat across from this man and his partner. And turns out he owned a coffee shop in Taos called World Cup Cafe. And he started telling us about how amazing Taos is and how it's just far more, you know, just remote and off the grid than Santa Fe is. And he said, y'all should come out and visit me in Taos. I'll show you around. He's like, I've been there. I can show you the lay of the land. Come visit me. So, you know, throughout the course of the evening, we get to know him really well. And, you know, we have this beautiful meal and share this beautiful experience with him. And it's one of those experiences where you all feel like best friends by the time the dinner's over, because everybody gets to know each other pretty well. And after, of course, drinking a lot, you know, everybody gets loose and ready to go, ready to have a good dining experience. So fast forward 2 weeks later, my friend Ariel Plotek, who was the curator at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum here in Santa Fe, calls me up and says, Ariel, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, Sting is playing a secret show at a park in Taos. And I was like, what? I said, I think you read that wrong. I said, Sting, like the Sting, like from the Police Sting. And he was like, yeah. He's like, for reals. He goes, Sting's playing a secret show in this park and it's completely sold out. And he goes, I know you're a musician. Do you have any music connections at all to get us into the show? And I said, well, I said, I know a few people, but I don't think they can have any pull to get us into this exclusive sting show in Dallas. I said, but you know what? I'll try. I'll give it a try, because you never know what could happen. So I text my manager, and I said, hey, I said, this is totally random, but you wouldn't happen to have any connects to getting me into a show that Sting is playing in Taos, New Mexico at an outdoor park? And I get a reply back, and he says, give me a few minutes. Let me get back to you. So I was like, oh, okay. So it wasn't an automatic no. I was like, maybe he does know somebody. But he texted me back 10 minutes later. He's like, I got you in, plus one. I was like, no way. So I was really excited, and I texted Ariel back, and I said, you're not going to believe it. I got us into this show. He's like, all right, well, that's great, because I can figure out a place for us to stay so we don't have to drive all the way back to Santa Fe, because it gets kind of dangerous at night, and we wanted to drink and have a good time. I was like, sounds like a deal, man. Just let me know. And so 3 or 4 days later, we get in the car. We're super excited. We got a place to stay. We're going to go see Sting. We're driving into Taos. And I said, oh, Ariel, I met this guy 2 weeks ago at this Shed Project dinner. His name's Patrick. He owns World Cup Cafe, and it's right in the center of town. He said to stop in and say hello, you know, the next time I was in town. So I said, so I'd like to stop in and get a cup of coffee before the show and say hi. So we parked the car, walked into the coffee shop, and stood in line to get a cup of coffee. And then finally, when we got to the register to order, I noticed this plastic jar with a photo of Patrick on it, the guy we had dinner with. And it says, please go to this GoFundMe site or give donations if you can for the family of Patrick. I was looking at the jar and I was kind of trying to piece it together. I was like, oh no, what happened? So I asked the barista, I said, hey, I said, my name's Ariel. I met Patrick 2 weeks ago at a dinner and he said to stop in and say hello if I was in town. And her face kind of turned white and she got really serious and somber looking. And she said, oh, she said, I guess you haven't heard. And I said, heard what? She said, Patrick was brutally murdered a week ago. And I just was in shock. I said, what? And she said, yeah. She's like, I don't want to go into the details, you know, because there were people waiting behind me. She goes, but you can read about it in the news. It was in the Taos News last week. She said, if you're so inclined, you know, we're taking donations for his family, for the loss. You know, he's got a daughter and a partner here. And I was like, oh man, I'm so sorry to hear that. And then I looked at Ariel. Ariel's like, are you all right? Do you still want to go to this Sting show? I said, well, just give me a minute to process this because it was such a shock. And so we ordered our coffees and walked outside on the patio. And I called Tracy. I said, Tracy, you're not going to believe this. I said, remember the guy Patrick we had dinner with at the Shed Project? And she was like, yeah. I said, I'm in Taos. I said, I dropped into his coffee shop to say hello. And he was murdered. Tracy was like, what? Are you kidding me? And so while I'm on the phone with Tracy, she's Googling it online. She's like, oh my God, here's the story. The man who murdered him is at large. They're trying to find out who killed him because he was shot and he was unrecognizable when they found his body. So they had to do a lot of tests to get a positive confirmation on him. Anyways, really brutal. And so Tracy's reading this to me on the phone while I'm standing there with my coffee with Ariel. And I'm just kind of in shock. And so we sat there for about 30 minutes and I was processing it. And then Ariel's like, well, do you want to go to the show? And I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and go. And we walked across the street and went and saw Sting play. And I mean, put on a great show. And we ended up having a wonderful time. After the show was over, we proceeded to go on to drive to this place that Ariel had arranged for us to stay. We got in the car, and of course, if you don't know about Taos or Arroyo Hondo, there's just no light after the sun goes down. There's not like street lights or any kind of lighting anywhere. It's just pitch black. So we're driving and we're trying to find this house, and it's, you know, left turn here, right turn there. And so it's winding road, down gravel roads, you know, you kind of have to have a four-wheel car to drive out there because it's real bumpy and really rocky. So we're driving real slow and we finally get to the place. Takes us about 20 minutes to find this house from this park in the middle of Taos. And we drive up and it's really dark. And Ariel said, well, the only things we have to do, there are two dogs in the house, Otis and Maggie. He said, all we have to do is let them out, and feed them in the morning before we leave. I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. I love dogs, you know. So we walk into the house, and the key's hidden under this rock, and, you know, we're using our iPhone flashlights to try and find where this rock is hidden, because he had instruction on his phone of how to find the key to get into the house and the alarm code. And so we find the key, we get in the house, and I notice, like, a couple odd things before we walk into the house. There's, like, a baseball bat by the door. And I was like, who has a baseball bat by their door? That's odd. I was like, well, I guess out in Taos, you know, who knows? So we walk into the house, and the dogs run and greet us, and they're barking. And they're all wet and muddy. And there's just mud and wet dog hair everywhere, all over the furniture, all over the rugs. And we opened the door to all the bedrooms because we're like, where are we supposed to stay? And the dogs had just gone free in this house and just laid and got mud and just wet dog hair all over every bed in the house. So it turns out the person that was watching their dogs had left the doggy door open, and there's a pond on the property. So the dogs were just running in and out of this doggy door all day, jumping in the pond, jumping out, running in the house, jumping back out. And so the whole house looked like it had been ransacked, but it was really just the dogs, you know, running in and out and running all over everything. And so Ariel and I looked at each other and said, well, let's just try and find some clean towels, lay it over over the muddy bedding, and try to sleep. So we laid down to go to sleep on these clean towels, and next thing we know, we hear these coyotes howling, which is not unusual for Taos or Santa Fe. You know, that's just a thing that happens. But we hear these coyotes outside. Woo, woo, woo. Like they had just had a fresh kill or something. You know how they howl. A group of them howl when they kill something. So we left the door open to the bedroom we were sleeping in. And then the dogs, Otis and Maggie, heard the coyotes outside and ran out of the bedroom before we could catch them. Ran out the doggy door because we didn't close the doggy door. And ran out after these coyotes. And we're like, oh, man. So we're like, surely they'll come back. Like, they're just going to go bark at the coyotes and then come back, and it'll all be good. And by this time, it was around probably 1:30 in the morning. So it was pitch black outside, and we're like, well, they'll just come back. You know, this is Taos. It's rural out here, you know. Who knows what's going on out there? These dogs will know to come back because they know where they get their food, you know, where their beds are. So we're waiting. About 30 minutes goes by, and this dog, this Otis, so I should preface this by saying Maggie's about 12 years old, so she's an older dog, and Otis is a young lab puppy, so he's about 2. So he is just barking, rawr, 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 rawr. I mean, you hear him barking, and for 30 minutes straight, we couldn't get him to come in. We went outside. We're like, my God, are these dogs coming back in? Because he would not stop barking, and we couldn't get to sleep because he was just barking nonstop. So we went outside, and we're like, Otis! Otis! And he's not coming back. He's just rawr, 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 just barking nonstop. So this goes on for like 45 minutes, and Ariel and I are laughing at this point because it becomes comical. We're like, I guess we're not getting any sleep tonight. So we went to the bathroom and shoved toilet paper in our ears to see if that would help us so we could get some peace and quiet to get to sleep. And so we're laying there with the toilet paper stuffed in our ears, and that dog is still barking. Otis is still going at it. And I'm barely drifting off to sleep. And I hear this bang, 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 bang. And I'm thinking to myself, surely nobody's knocking on the door. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, you know when you're drifting off to sleep and you think you imagine something and maybe you're dreaming, maybe you're not. That's what I was thinking in my mind. I said, I think I'm dreaming this. There's no way this is real. And then the sound went away. So I was like, well, I was like, I guess I imagined that, so I'm starting to doze back off. And then I hear it again. Bang, 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 bang. And I nudge Ariel. I said, Ariel, I said, I think someone's banging on the door. And he said, no way. Nobody's banging on the door. And of course, by the time I nudge him to tell him this is happening, he, you know, we sit up in bed and we listen for it, and it's dead silence. We hear nothing. Other than the dog barking in the distance. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm imagining this. I guess I'm drifting off to sleep and I'm dreaming this. Well, the next thing we know, about 30 seconds later, we hear glass break in the house. And we're both awake at this point, and we just shoot up in the bed. And then we hear someone enter the house and start screaming, "Is anybody here? Is anybody fucking here? Is anybody fucking in this house?" Screaming. And I'm paralyzed with fear at this point because someone's broken in the house, someone's screaming, and I'm trying to reach for my phone. It's pitch black in the bedroom, and I'm like, I have my hands reaching, pawing for the nightstand to try and find my phone to dial 911. And so this guy's screaming, and Ariel says, "Yes, someone's here, someone's in the house." And Ariel has a very calm demeanor. He's just a very chill dude. And, you know, he's real calm about it. Whereas I'm wanting to scream, but you know when you're so scared to get that knot in your throat, you can't speak? And I'm trying to dial 911. And he's talking to this guy. He says, "Yes, someone's here. Give me a moment." And the whoever broke in the house heard this. He's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Someone's fucking actually here? Someone's fucking in this house?" I mean, he's going ballistic. And so Ariel starts to, you know, try to find his way through the dark. I mean, we're in a new environment, so we don't know where to step, and we can't see anything because it's pitch black. And he steps and makes his way out of the door, and I'm trying to dial 911 on my phone, of course. No cell service, no Wi-Fi. Like, I'm not on their Wi-Fi because we had just entered and our plan was to go immediately sleep. So I'm just laying there and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, please, please don't let anything happen. And I'm sitting in bed just shaking like a leaf. I'm so scared. And I hear Ariel having a conversation with him. This guy's screaming at him, saying, "These dogs have been barking nonstop the last 3 nights. Me and my kids cannot sleep." He goes, "I'm gonna kill these fucking dogs if you don't get them under control. These dogs are gonna fucking die tonight. I'm sick and tired of this shit," you know. And he's just screaming at Ariel. He's like, Ariel says, "Please, please don't kill these dogs. We're watching these dogs for the night. We're just guests for the night. We're leaving in the morning." He's like, "We tried to get the dogs in, but we couldn't get them in the house." He goes, "But now I'll go looking for them with a flashlight." He's like, "You better fucking get this under control because something's gonna fucking die tonight if you don't." And that's the last thing I hear. So then I hear Ariel go outside with a flashlight, and he's screaming, "Otis! Otis!" Just screaming to his dog. And sure enough, the dog comes running in, and he screams at me in the bedroom. He's like, "Ariel, grab the dogs and lock them in the bedroom." And so Otis runs in the bedroom, and I grab Otis. You know, I lock my arms around him on the ground, and I'm just sitting there shivering with the dog, you know, just shaking, just in fear. And then I noticed this bright light being shown in my face, because in the bedroom we were sleeping and there was this floor-to-ceiling cantilever window out to like this beautiful view of the Taos Mountain. And I guess the guy that broke into the house shone this flashlight right in my face, and I never saw who he was. And then the flashlight just kind of went away, and I heard him walk off into the distance, and I'm holding the dog. And then Ariel walks in, and he's like ghostly white, and he's shaking. And I said, "Are you okay, man?" And he was like, "Ariel, you're not gonna believe it. This guy had an axe and a gun and a flashlight, like, and a hammer. He was ready to like throw down." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "This is insane." And so I was like, "What do we do?" By this time, it was probably 2:30 in the morning at this point. I said, "Should we call? You know, do we have a number for the people that live here? Can we call them?" Ariel's like, "Let's just wait this out. As soon as the sun rises, let's feed the dogs and get the hell out of here." I was like, "Sounds like a plan." So we laid back down. Of course, neither of us got any sleep. We're all, you know, had one eye open the whole night, just shaken, so scared from the incident. But the sun rises, we feed the dogs, and we get in the car. We just drive back to Santa Fe. And the minute we got cell service, he called the homeowner and said, "You know, we had an altercation last night. Someone broke into the house and wanted us to get control of the dogs because they were barking." And he said they've been barking nonstop the last 3 nights. They couldn't sleep. And they were like, "Well, what did he look like?" And Ariel said, "Well, he had a hoodie on, so I couldn't really see him. But he had really piercing blue eyes and a salt and pepper goatee." He goes, "And he was short. He was kind of like 5'7", 5'8". He wasn't that tall." He goes, "Oh, we think we know who that is. That's the guy that lives in the neighboring property down the road." He goes, "Okay, he's a little crazy." He's like, "It's all right." He goes, "Are you all good? And other than that, are the dogs good?" And Ariel's like, "Yeah, everything's good. You know, the dogs are fed, and you know, we locked the door when we left, and we're gone." And when we get back to Santa Fe, we're like, thank God we made it through that situation. That was crazy. And went about our lives. And then 2 weeks later, I get a text from my friend Tracy, my friend we went to the Shed Dinner Project with, and who I called to, I informed her that Patrick had been brutally murdered. She sends me a text and she said, oh my God, Ariel, they caught the guy that murdered Patrick. And I was like, no way. I said, how'd you know? She's like, it's on the front page news. And she sent me the link and I clicked on the link and I'm reading the news story and it's saying, you know, this guy was at large and he's been charged with the homicide of Patrick Larkin, the owner of World Cup Coffee in Taos, New Mexico, and he was apparently murdered over a feud over barking dogs disturbing the livestock. And I was like, holy shit, this guy murdered him over a barking dog dispute. You know, I'm looking at the story, I'm reading it, and I'm looking at his face, you know, and I decided to text Ariel because Ariel was there with me when I found out the news in Taos. I said, hey, you're not going to believe it. They caught the guy that murdered our friend that we met at that dinner. And I sent him the link. And on the link, when you tap the link, immediately the mugshot of this guy pops up. And not 20 seconds after me sending the link to Ariel, he calls me immediately and he's shaking in his voice and he says, Ariel, that's the guy. That's the guy that broke into the house. That's the guy. And I was like, are you kidding me? He broke into the house over barking dogs. Just 2 weeks prior, he had murdered somebody over an altercation with barking dogs. You know, this guy had just had it and went nuts. You know, he just had it. And so once I read, I was like, these coincidences are just too insane. Like, we had met the guy 2 weeks prior at this dinner. 2 weeks later, we happened to be in Taos for a secret surprise sting show, which is a once in a million opportunity. And then we just so happened to stay at this estate that was right next to this guy who murdered his neighbor that lived on the opposite side of the land over an altercation over barking dogs. And then he broke into our house that night for the same reason, and we came out alive, thanks to Ariel's calm demeanor that saved our lives that night. He was really calm with the guy and really kind of dispelled his energy when he broke into the house. You know, it could have been a very different outcome. Nothing good happens once the sun goes down in Taos, and to this day, I will not spend the night in Taos ever again. I'll go out there, but once the sun starts to set, I get the hell out of there.
Greg Steele, the man who shot Taos coffee shop owner Patrick Larkin, was convicted and sentenced to 21 years in prison. He appealed, but the conviction was upheld by the New Mexico courts. Meanwhile, Ariel Saldivar has a new album coming out next spring. She performs as Kamina. Strange is produced by me, Jason Reimer, and Jeff Whittington, who also edits the show. Strange was created by me and Jason Reimer. Jason also composed our music. Additional music provided by Talented Friends Productions. Our artwork is by Rob Wilson. You can find all of the details in our show notes for this episode. If you like Strange and want to help support this work, please rate and review us wherever you're listening. And tell all of your friends. It helps others find the show. And if you have your own strange story, I want to hear it. Please drop me an email or a voice recording through my website, strangepod.com.